Come on, lift your hands. Come on and shout hallelujah. Come on, Israel, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For we shall trust in the light, and that o'er is Yahshua the Lamb. For there is no other light unto the enlightenment of your Torah, but by the revelation and the power of living truth, that we are able to live this life by the power of your Ruach. So we ask you this night, Almighty Yah, to help us, Israel, the scattered remnant of the seeds that you have elected for your purpose. We pray for them, Yah. Bring the brothers home safely, we do ask, in the precious name of Yahshua HaMashiach. Israel cried, hallelujah. 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 Look to your neighbor and say, my friend, for this night I shall find confidence in the word of Yah. Shalom. You may be seated. We do invoke the blessings of Almighty Yahweh, the Most High of Israel, upon the remnant of his elect seed, Zerah, and those that have been birthed by the power of his command. We have been birthed by the power of the Torah, of the law of Yah. For he is the one that made man and created all things for his pleasure. And out of that creation, he elected a people that should wear the zeal of his excellence and the seal of his power. And that people is Israel, that he has called to show the power of his prevailing against all opposition of hell, against every force of darkness, and against every kind of thought or imagination that rises in the mind of man to destroy him of the pathway that leads unto the Tzaddik, the righteous way of Almighty Yahweh. We must walk in the direct, the righteous way. And that is a direction that leads us unto the bosom of Almighty Yahweh. We can see the calamity in the nations of the world. What is happening is not just relegated to this nation. We found the nations that their currency and their markets are based upon the market of America. And this market is crumbling because it was based upon a very sadistic and a plan that is full of fallacy and falsehood. It was not based upon the promises of Almighty Yahweh, but it's based upon the seductive greed and lust of a people that simply thinks of oneself. And that is the principle of this democracy. You must have a people that is always discontented. And they must have a discontentment in order that you feed them with things that cause them to have this uncontrollable lust that's in the heart of man. It is one by the name of Sigmund Freud. You that have studied any business courses, you will understand the very principles of Sigmund Freud. And these principles are what captivated America from the offspring or the cousin of Sigmund Freud, a man by the name of Brignac. And to introduce this kind of mindset in the nation that was propelled from Wall Street or Madison Street there in New York, to control the very mind, the desire, and the will of man. And that is what the enemy has done. And by doing that, he has caused us to be turned from the promises of Almighty Yah. Those things that gives us assurance. What is assurance, preacher? It is based upon principles that we can truly trust in, and that we know that the principles of those things will reveal unto us, or grant unto us, the assurance or the tikvah, the hope that lies within man. There is always some form of hope within man. We do not understand the very nuances of that, And that is something that we must understand, Israel. If we plan to make it into the kingdom, there must be a living, a lively, a high, a haya, a tikva that lie in the love of Israel. And it must be based upon principles that are certain that we can even trust in. And even in death we will have a strong assurance if the principles of Yahweh are embedded in the mind of Israel. And we must truly in this hour, above all hours that we have faced or been challenged with, for we shall see the very demise of the nations of the world. For they have turned against Yahweh. And the principles are based upon a lust that can never be satisfied. It is based upon a greed that can never be controlled. Those are some of the principal keys of democracy. That you allow the lust of the people to never be satisfied. And that's why they must always have a continuous of things and things and things. There is only one sure thing, and that is the imatz, the living truth, the living power of Yahweh's words demonstrated among Israel. And anything else that is demonstrated, it will bring death, it will bring separation, it will cause the spirit of corruption to come in, and it will cause us to despise the living Torah, the truth of Almighty Yahweh. What I want to speak unto Israel tonight, I want to speak of this expectation that we have. And it must be based upon Torah and the truth. I said to my wife other day as we went out to purchase the things that were necessary for the community, I said to her as I began some days ago to understand the very intricate workings of this word that we call hope. Tikva, this expectation of Yah. I said as I began to aggressively search the scripture, I find that this word tikva, or the hope, or this expectation, the assurance that we have, it is like a cord that connects us to Almighty Yah. And without this cord of connection, without this tikva, without the manifestation of this in Israel, that we lose sight of the promises of Almighty Yahweh. We began to lose sight, we began to become weary. We began to doubt Him. We become unfaithful unto Him. We must have the tikva, the assurance, this hope, this truth of Yah that we trust in, that we can rely upon. We cannot rely upon the economy. We cannot rely upon the banking institutions because they are falling. We cannot rely upon the commerce of a nation like this. We must have our anchored in something that will give us the greatest of assurance and the comfort, even though if we suffer in the midst of that, we have great assurance because we know that our anchor is certain. I want to take my time somewhat tonight. I said to my wife, I haven't preached or taught in a long time on a Wednesday night, but I will tonight. Hallelujah. I want to begin in scripture here and to heal them in Psalms 62 and 1. Because I want us to understand what this tikva, this expectation is based upon. We must have this anticipation that Yahweh will carry out what He has spoken unto us, or that He will manifest His truth unto Israel. There must be an expectation. And if there is no an expectation, then there is no assurance. If we do not expect anything from Yah, then there is no assurance of this tikva. And the tikva, this promise of the power of His manifest truth in us, we must expect that from the Abba. And we must begin here in the book of Tehillim. It says in Psalms 62:1, David said in the midst of all of the complexities of his battles, And the great trials as his enemies came against him, he had a certain assurance. He says, truly, or Akka, Akka. He said, certainly, notwithstanding, irregardless to what may come my way, truly. And we must all say that, brothers and sisters. We must say, Akka, or truly. As the old Kiddushans would say, it makes no difference what the trial may be, or the circumstance, but Dawid said, Akka, or certainly, notwithstanding whatever the trial is, regardless of what I am tried by, he said, my nephesh, my soul, waits, it stands still, it is silent, it waits, it trusts upon Yahweh. From him comes my Yeshua, from Yahweh comes our deliverance. For truly my nephesh, my being waits. It waits in silence. It trusts Yah. It stands still to hear what the word of Yah says. For truly my life source is to trust Almighty Yahweh. We cannot trust in the uncertainties of this time. We must truly trust our nephesh, and that is the living source of man. Our being must trust. We must have confidence in Almighty Yahweh. We must wait. We must wait. We must wait upon Yah. And in that waiting, we must be silent. And in that waiting, we must be still. And in that waiting, we must trust Almighty Yah. Even though the circumstances, that's why Dawid said, truly or Akka, regardless to what it is, I do not care of the trial or these situations. He said, I know for certainly, withstanding all circumstances, that I will wait, I will trust in Almighty Yah. That is where we as Israel, we must get to, brothers and sisters. And the reason we are not there, because we have no assurance of the Tikvah. Our hope is not based upon the principles and the truth of Yahweh. It is not based upon what he has given unto us, this living power of Torah that is a lively power that has come from his bosom. And so without understanding that, we cannot say truly or Akka. We cannot say truly. Regardless of the trial, regardless of the circumstance, my nephesh, my soul will wait. Do me Yah. It will wait on Yahweh. That our being will wait on him. We will trust him. We will wait upon the promises of Yahweh, because there is an assurance of the expectation. And there is only one place where the assurance of this tikvah is found. It's not found outside of the perimeter of the Torah of Yah. We're trying to find it in the substance of this life. And these things bring death unto us. It brings separation. Our minds separate from Yah, because our thoughts are given over unto things that produce no life at all. It produces no substance at all. There is only one thing that gives us assurance, that calls this burning tikvah, this hope in the midst of any kind of trial, to sustain us in the midst of those complex trials that we are being tried by. We must, brothers and sisters, lay hold unto the truth of Yah. We have laid hold unto everything, but this is the hour that we must lay hold unto the truth of Yah. Man is laying hold to the stock market, and it is falling. You have the speculators that's driving up the prices of everything. So we cannot trust in these things because they are uncertain. You go to the gas station this afternoon, gas $4.01. You may go tomorrow and it's $5 a gallon. That's the reality of what we are up against. We know that Yah, he doesn't change. His word is certain and he gives us assurance. Look at this. The scripture says in Bereshit, Genesis 8. I want to show us something. Even as the ark, and that Yah commanded Moshe to Noah to build, as it rests on Arafat, the Mount of Arafat, Scripture tells us in the course of this chapter here that how that Noah, he sent forth a raven, and then the latter part he sent forth a dove. Now Yah has allowed every kind of unclean thing to go forth in the land today. And now he sent forth that spirit of the Ruach of the dove, Yeshua, this liveliness unto Israel. And that was a purpose that he sent forth the dove. This Ruach, this spirit that brings the refreshing of Almighty Yah. It says in Bereshit 8:12, even as he sent forth the dove, it says, and Noach, he stayed, or he yahal. He stayed, or he waited. Now that's what we must begin to do. He waited, or his tigva, there was an expectation from the man. Even though he sent forth a dove, Yahweh has sent forth his ruach unto us. And we must learn how to wait for the promises of Yah. Not allow our emunah to be shaken. And cause us to doubt him and began to question the power of our Abba. Because we become double-minded. We become very unstable, brothers and sisters. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So we began to allow the rock of doubt, the spirit of doubt, to convey unto us opposition against the word of Yahweh. We began to find ourselves faltering and falling for anything that the enemy will speak to our minds. And he will speak lies to our minds. Not Emmet. He will speak lies. That's his job. He is diametrically opposed unto Yah. And even as Noach had sent forth the raven, and it had not returned, he sent forth this pure spirit of light. That's what this dove represents. That's what Yahshua represents, brothers and sisters. He represents this light, this life of Yah. This pure spirit that come from the bosom of the Abba, that brings forth unto Israel the promises of Yah. You understand that he had your call. He waited. He patiently endured. And yet his tigvah, his hope was not abated because of that. For he knew that the word of Yah was, there was promises that Yah had promised him what he was going to do. He showed him what to do. He told him what to do. And he has told us what to do, brothers and sisters. He has given us the blueprint. He has given us all the supplies that we need to build a storehouse, a spiritual house, a house whereby the Ruach of Yah dwells, and the power of his living Torah fill the minds of the house, the bayit of Yisrael. But he waited. He waited, it says, and he waited yet other 7 days, and he sent forth the dove, which returned not again to him anymore. It is one thing that this spirit of ours, one day is going to fade out of this body, but it shall return back unto Israel. That is the hope, that is the tikvah of the house of Israel. Though Yah may slay us, he may break down the walls of our flesh and destroy every element of it, yet we cannot forsake him or deny him, for he has not denied Israel. He will not deny us. And the process, we must learn how to just wait on Yah. We have to establish our minds, and we do that in quietness and waiting to hear what he speaks unto us. And the living truth will speak unto us. We hide this word of Yah in us, in our love, that we will not sin against Yah. The word will constantly speak unto us. It is the power of his Ruah, the life of the living truth in us, that will speak to us constantly. But we must allow the word to speak to us, not our own conscience. We must allow the word of Yah to speak to us and shape our conscience, to shape our minds, to shape our thoughts, to shape our desires. We must do that, Israel. And that's why the enemy is wreaking havoc on us. He waited. He waited because he knew the promises of Yah. We have to understand and know the promises of Yah. And once we understand the legitimacy of the promises of Yah, there is no impatience. We will wait on Almighty Yahweh. We will wait upon the refreshing that comes from above high. We will wait for the renewing of life that comes from the bosom of Almighty Yahweh. The word produced the power of high life. And that is a fluid form. And that's what the word of Yah does. It produces the fluid power of Yahweh in us. We can speak things as though they are not, and we can call them to be. We just don't doubt it, brothers and sisters. Just don't doubt it. You hope in that. Don't doubt it. That is one of the most powerful tools the enemy has. It is to play on our vision, our peripheral, what we see to the side or behind us, in front of us. What we see is the living truth of Almighty Yah. We have the living word in us. And we wait upon that. We wait on the power of the manifestation of that. Noah knew what he was doing. That's why he waited there in the ark. He did not go outside of the realm or the proximity of the word of Yah. Let us not go out of the proximity of the Torah. Let us abide in the Torah ship. For in the Torah ship we find the life and the power of Yah. We get out of the Torah ship, we find death, we find obscurity, we become blind and we cannot see. We must walk, we must sail upon the Torah ship, and the anchor of that Torah ship is Yahshua HaMashiach. For he is the sure anchor. He is the anchor for the nephesh, for the life of Israel. He is the one that anchors us. He is the cord that ties us to the Abba. You don't have that cord, Yahshua. You're not tied to Yah. He has sent a lively cord that the breath of life flows constantly from Hashemayim unto Israel. So we can wait. Even though things may seem defying, we still can wait. Let's just wait. We're going to wait and see our change. For there's a change that is coming unto Israel. I'm going to wait and see the change of Almighty Yahweh. Hallelujah. We shall be changed. Israel shall be changed into the image of his dear son, Yahshua HaMashiach. We shall be changed, Israel. Hallelujah. We shall. Yah has something for his people. He has a tremendous reward for Israel. It's one thing that he constantly warns us against, the corruption of this Rasha, this wickedness, this criminal mindset. Because he has something for us that is far greater than our criminal minds can conjure up or even think on. The words spoken by the prophet Micah in Michael, Micah 7:7. I want you to hear this clearly. It says in Micah 7:7, he says, therefore I will look. Now I understand how we think the word look, what it consists of. But he says, therefore will I, so far I will look. Not only will he appear to be visually focused, but he is saying that I will spy, I will keep watch, I will observe. You see, the word look just doesn't give us all of the nuances of what is important unto Israel. He said, therefore will I look to Yahweh, not to myself. I will look, I will suffer unto Yah, I will wait. I will, Yah call, I will wait, I will tarry. I will trust Yahweh. I will not deny him, but I will wait. I will wait upon Yah for the sovereign ruler of my Yahshua, of my salvation. Yahweh will shemacha. He will understand. He will hear me. He will know that it is I that speaks unto him. That's why we must look unto Yahweh. We've looked unto everything else. We have so far unto everything. Every kind of corrupt element. Every kind of unclean thing. But he said that I will look unto Almighty Yahweh. I will shafar. I will keep watch. I will observe. I will trust. I will look unto Yah, for I will wait. I will tarry. I will yachal, even in pain, in trial, in affliction, I will wait. Even in regardless of the circumstances, I will wait. Even though my mind is afflicted with doubt, he said, I will yachal. I will yachal. I will wait. Even though my mind is pain, even though the afflictions are there, I will wait. I will look unto Yah. I'm looking unto Yahweh for all things. Listen to me, Israel. We must establish that in our minds. We must look unto Him. I know how circumstances seem. They seem very bleak. We must look unto Yah. We must look unto Yahweh. And we must stay. We must wait. We must yachal. We must yachal. In the midst of pains, in the midst of affliction, we must yachal. We must wait upon Yahweh. We must wait. Even in the midst of the pervasiveness of wickedness and doubt, let us look unto Him. Let us safar unto Yahweh. Let us observe Him. Set our vision upon the things that are heavenly, or the things that are above, and not on the things that are carnal, but the things that are above, the things that are eternal. We set our hope upon those things. We will wait. We will yachal. We will yachal in the midst of pains and affliction. We will wait upon Yahweh. We will trust Him. We shall be renewed in the strength of our Abba. For it is the word of Yah. If we do not have the tikvah of Yah in the words, we are a people that's blind and we are lost. We cannot base it on our feelings, our emotions, or circumstances. We must look unto Him, or we must look to other alternatives. We must trust what He say. We must yachal, even though we are pained, even though our minds are afflicted. We must have confidence in Almighty Yah. We have to, brothers and sisters, because these circumstances and what we see in this nation and around the world, this is a generation of people that's dead. They have no promise. Israel, we have the promises of Yah. We have the promises of Yah. I want to show us something. For we that are the seed of Israel in Isaiah 38. I want to teach tonight, but I know I get somewhat excited with the word of Yah. It propels me. My energy level rises up. Isaiah says in 38. Verse 18. He says, For the grave, Sheol cannot praise you. It cannot tefireth. It cannot hallel Yah. It cannot esteem Yah. From the grave, there's no one from the grave. Not even David, Evangelist Horn, Brother Fred, Brother Ray Robinson, not any of them can praise Yah. He says, death cannot celebrate a halal. It cannot celebrate you. He said, they that go down into the pit cannot, they cannot shabar. They cannot inspect or examine. They cannot scrutinize your truth. So they that go down into the grave, they cannot scrutinize. That doesn't mean that for us there is no hope in death, because scripture does not say that. I'm simply showing us here in the book here in Yeshua, when we are dead and in trespasses of sin, when our minds are not given over unto the lawfulness of Almighty Yah, we cannot celebrate Him. We cannot, brothers and sisters, we cannot have that Shabbat. We cannot scrutinize the word of Yah. We cannot have confidence in the word of Yah, because our flesh is dead. And there is no life in the power of the flesh. The life that is in us in the power of the testimony of Yeshua. And so our flesh doesn't take consolation in the word of Yah. Because we're entombed in this grave of sinful flesh. And so this sinful flesh will not praise Yah. Why? Because there is no Shabbat. There is no Shabbat. There is no way to inspect. Because the mind is not willing to inspect the word of Yah. It cannot scrutinize the word of Yah, because if it does that, then it brings judgment upon one. We have a very precious tikvah. We have a tikvah. Hallelujah. We are not a people that's without the tikvah, the hope, this sabah. We can inspect the word of Yahweh. We can examine it. We can allow it to scrutinize us. That is what the Torah of Yah does, it scrutinizes us. It is a full of soap. It cleanses us. It bathes us. It washes us. It cleanses us up, that we can come before Yahweh and present the offering unto Him that is acceptable. It bathes us. It washes out the inward parts and the exterior as well. That's what the word of Yah does. It is the full of soap for Israel. There's no other cleanser but the word of Yah. We can bathe with the soap all we want to. That's not the cleansing power of the word of Yah. You can spray yourself down that you smell quite dainty. But that has no effect on the spiritual man at all. None whatsoever. So from this grave or this tomb of fleshly sinful practices, there is no Shabbat. We do not scrutinize the word of Yah. We cannot be sensitive to the word of Yah. But what Yah has given unto us, Israel, He's given unto us a living promise. It is a lively promise. We have a living tikvah. That's what we have. It's in the power of Yahshua HaMashiach. I'm glad of that. Hallelujah. I'm glad of that. Because we have tikvah, even in death, Israel has hope. That's what the word of Yah says. Hallelujah. We have hope, even in death. Jeremiah speaks. As he speaks to the sin of Israel in Jeremiah chapter 2, in verse 25. And he speaks of the sins of Yehuda, which had caused them to become desperate with despair, and they were hopeless. And he speaks unto them in Jeremiah 2:25. He says to Yehuda, withhold your foot from being unshod. Brothers and sisters, make sure that our feet is shod with the preparation of the message of Shalom. Yeshua, the steps of a tough man, they're ordered by Yahweh. He said, withhold your foot from being unshod and your throat from thirst. But you said, this is what we say, there is no Yahash, there is no hope, we are desperate, we have a hope, brothers and sisters. Let us not speak, let us make sure our feet are shod. We have this feet shod with the message of this Shalom of Yahshua. We will not say there is no Yahash, there is no hope for us. We will not say that. That's what the enemy wants us. He wants our feet to be shod with this lustful care of this life and this appetite of the world. But he said, make sure your feet are shod and your throat, you have drink from the cistern of the fountains of the living water. But Yisrael Yehuda said, there is no Yahash. No, for I have loved strangers. And after them will I go. That's what Yehuda said. Because there is no Yahash, no hope. Because there is no confidence of trust. I will go the way of the strangers and the heathens. Brothers and sisters, let us not go the way of the strangers. Those are estranged from Almighty Yahweh. Let us shod our feet with this message of Shalom, with this message of the Shalom of Yah, of this truth that is revealed in Yahshua HaMashiach. And that we may drink from the living fountain of Almighty Yah, that our throats will not be dry. We will have the living source of water that flows from the veins of Yahshua. We are a people that have a tikvah. We will not declare, as Yahuta says, we have no ya'ash. No ya'ash. There is no roar of certainty for us. But for Yisrael, there's a roar of certainty. It is based in the Torah, the truth of Yahweh. For when we obey the living word of Yah, then He grants unto us the fullness of our shalom and health and strength. He grants that unto Yisrael. For our hope, our tikvah, is to see the very wonderful and magnificent face of Yahshua. That's what I want to see, the face of HaMashiach. Hallelujah. I want to see Him. I want to see the grandeur of Yah upon His face above all things. Well, that's a false hope. No, that's the only hope. What else do we hope in? Tell me, what else? Some strange formulation of doctrines that gives some kind of euphoric unto the flesh. What this doctrine does, it destroys this body and takes it down to the grave. That the power of the flesh will not rise over the living source of Yisrael, and that's the Ruach of Yah, the Spirit of Yah. And so we are not a people that say we have no Ya'ash, we have a hope, we have a tikvah in Yahshua HaMashiach. We have that Yisrael, we have that. And that is why, as we confess even our sins and our faults and our errors before Yah, it produces a strength unto us. Brothers and sisters, I want to say this to us and you that are listening. We got to get things right. And it begins in your own love. We can be superficial all we want to and be pretenders. It's going to destroy us. We better get things right. And we better begin with Yah Almighty, Yahweh. Yeah? And when you begin with Him, then He will convince you of your sins. Because your own love will condemn you and show you your vile ways. And if your love condemns you, He's greater than that. So if even your conscience condemns you, you know that there is something vile in you. And we must begin to confess that and get it right. We're not going into the kingdom any other way. We must do that, brothers and sisters. We cannot allow this foul binding spirit of our conscience to bind us. We have to get it right. Jeremiah says here in the 14th chapter, Jeremiah 14. I want to strengthen you all tonight. He shows us here, he says this in Jeremiah 14:8. He says, "Oh, the mikveh, the hope." Now it says in your rendition, the hope, Jeremiah 14:8, or the hope or the mikveh, and this tells us what Jeremiah is saying here. What is your tikvah? What is grounded in? We got to make sure that we have the mikveh of Yah, that our hope is grounded. You cannot have the perfect flow of electricity unless you have the ground placed upon that. You must need a ground rod or the grounding of that electricity, because it will destroy everything. It will have no control. And so what is our mikveh? What it is grounded upon? The hope of Yisrael, the Yoshak, the savior thereof, in time of Sorah, in time of trouble. What is your mikveh in time of trouble? What do you base that on? What it is grounded upon, brothers and sisters? Come on, we must have hope that has roots. In the midst of trouble, in the midst of trials, we must have a hope that is rooted. We can make the vague statement, "I have hope," but there's more. There's more to the tikvah of Yah than that. It must be grounded. That's why he says here, "Oh, the mikveh, the ground of hope." What is the strength of it? What it is grounded upon? We must know what our hope is grounded upon. We must understand what our tikvah is grounded upon. For we have the mikveh. We have grounds of strength for our hope. Even in the time of Sarah, great afflictions and battles, Do you all hear me, Israel? In the midst of trials, Sharah, in the midst of great afflictions, in the time of trouble, why should you be a stranger in the land? And as a wayfaring man that turn aside to tarry for a night, why should you walk as strangers? If you know the certainty or the mikveh of your hope, what your mikveh is, what is grounded upon, we are not strangers unto your way. We are not children that are cast out. We are not children that are estranged from Almighty Yahweh. That's why He constantly corrects us. If we were estranged and separated from Him, then He would never receive us. And He receives us by showing us the rod of reproof and the rod of correction. That's what He does. We're not strangers. We are the seed of Israel. We are not those that walk in Ya'ash, that they have no hope. We have a tikva. We have a hope. We have a hope that is grounded in the strength of the kingdom power of Almighty Yah. I will get to that, brothers and sisters. This is the simple truth. This is a simple truth. But we must understand the dynamics of this simple truth. Hallelujah. And so we must get a little from the Torah and the prophets and the renewed covenant. We must understand the nuances of this tikva of Almighty Yahweh. We cannot just say, I have hope, because that we must know where this tikva is grounded in. What is it grounded in? Upon what? That's why we must get this truth in us, brothers and sisters. We must have confidence in Yahweh. We must have confidence in Him. And the way we show we have confidence in Him, we trust the living Torah. We trust the word of Yah. Even in the midst of great afflictions, we trust it. What man was buffeted and tried more than Job? And yet he speaks something very profoundly here in Job 13 and verse 15. As he professes confidence in Almighty Yah. He says here, though Yahweh slay me, though He breaks the element of my flesh, though He calls me to cry out, and that's what the slaying of the flesh will do. When Joshua knew that it was time for him to be offered, he cried out unto Yah in one of the most earnest fashions that one could cry out. Whereby the sweat came off him like a great drops of blood. And it was time, he says, I'm ready. I'm ready. And we must be ready people. Our minds must always be ready. Our thoughts must be ready to supply unto Yah the offering, the sacrifice of Torah continuously. For we know that we have a tikva that is grounded in the Torah and the truth of Yah. Is that based upon some ideology of David Roberts or some philosophy of man? It is based upon a living truth that has made you alive to live according to the Torah by the power of the Torah of Yah, because the Torah is alive with the true witness of Yah in us. And that witness is Yahshua, because He lives. Because Yahshua lives, we can face tomorrow. We can face the uncertainty of trials because we have a lively tikva. And the hope that's genuine. Eob said, though He slay me, he said, I will yachal, I will trust, I will be patient. Though He slay you, be patient with Him. Though He bring us down, let us yachal, let us be patient. Let us be patient. Let us endure. He said, I will trust Yah. I will Yachal. I will trust in Him. But I will maintain my own ways. But I will maintain my own ways before Him. I will maintain the ways of Yah. For He knew the ways of Yah. The ways of Eo were the ways of Yah. When his sons and daughters, whether they sinned or not, he made offerings unto Yah continuously for their sins. He knew the power of Torah and the strength of Yah. He knew the deliverance of Almighty Yahweh, because it was based upon and grounded in his confidence of offerings, in his continuous obedience unto the Torah of Yahweh. And what Yah has done for us, Israel, he has renewed that invigorated power in us by a living witness. And even though when we fall short, when we feel less confident, there's a life of his Torah that rises up in us. That is why the name of Yahshua, there's no name that's any sweeter than that name. We call upon that name because in the power of that name we find the sure deliverance and the tikvah of our Abba. We find it in that name. We find our assurance in the name Yahshua. He is the Yahshua, the saving power of Almighty Yahweh. It is the word of Yah that saves us. It is the word of Yah that delivers us. It is the word of Yah that sustains us. It is the word of Yah that produces life in us. It is the word of Yah that destroys the flesh. It is the word of Yah that will raise us up again, Israel. We will trust him though he slay us. We will yachal. We will trust Yahweh. We will trust him. We will be patient with him. We will endure the afflictions for the namesake of Yahshua HaMashiach. We will endure the ostracizing and the rejection for the namesake of Yahshua. Why? Because we have a certain tikva. We have assurance. And we find that in the word of Yah. We have great anticipation because there is an expectation for us. If we lose this promise, this tikva, if this tikva is deferred, it makes the lev sick. And we are not sickly. We are alive because Yahshua HaMashiach. We are alive because of him, brothers and sisters. It says in Lamentation, listen to this, in Lamentation, the Ikha. Lamentation, Ikha. Lamentations 3 and 26, the cries of Jeremiah. Lamentations 3:26. It tells us it is a tov, it is tov. It is an excellent thing that man should both, he should both kul. Now listen now. Now this kul, that a man should both kul. I said to Sister Roberts, the dynamics of the tikvah Yah, the expression of the nuances, they're so profound. It is a tov thing now that a man should both hope. It says that, doesn't it? He should both. But it is an expression of kul. And that the man should both dance. He shall dance before Yah. He should fear Yah. See, when a man knows he has a certain hope, he will dance and express that before Yah. He should fear Yah. He should wither in the presence of Yah because he knows that Yah is great. It is a tough thing that a man should both kul, dance, and fear that he should travail even in anguish and trial. That is what the dancing represents, because the hope is a sure thing. That's why even here in the Lamentations of Jeremiah, he expressed unto Israel, Lord, it is a tough thing that you should both kul, that even though that there are agony and trials and affliction, that you should dance in the Ruach, because you have a great reverence, a yare, a fear unto Yah. You know his reputation. You understand the power of his might. So he should both kul, he should both dance, he should dance in the Ruach. Come on, brothers and sisters, we need to learn how to do what Yah commands us to do. He should both dance, and he says, and quietly, do you hear that? Quietly wait. Nduma, he should wait in silence for the salvation, the Yahshua of Almighty Yahweh. And that's what our kul must be. Even though that we may be afflicted in our thoughts, in our minds, in our physical body, that we should kul. We should dance before Yah. And in that dancing, we wait patiently upon the living power of his word. And that is Yahshua to speak unto the speak healing balm unto Israel. Yeah. Ask Brother Patrick what he preached. That one wrote and said that their home was blessed. And he talks I don't know what he preaches, simply the healing balm or the balm of Gilead. And so he says here in the same emphasis or the same essence of that, that we should cool, we should dance. Why? Because even in the midst of our agonies and our trials and our affliction, it shows that we wait upon Yah and we do it silently. That the Ruach in that still small voice, Yahweh still speaks unto Israel. And if we are out of place, we cannot hear what he says. And so we will do it silently. We will wait upon him. But I'm afflicted and cool before Yah. That's the assurance of your tikvah. You hope you're cool. You dance, you're cool. You cool, you dance before Yah. You travail before him. And you're dancing even in the midst of your travailing. You're dancing in the midst of your anguish. You're dancing in the midst of your trials. You're dancing in the midst of your hardship. You're dancing before Almighty Yahweh. Because you know that your anchor rests upon the assurance of the rock of Yah. Assure this rock of Gibraltar, this word that breaks down every shackle of darkness and break the strongholds of hell. So we need to have this cool, this kind of hope that makes us dance. This kind of hope that makes us dance before Yah. It's like a bride waiting for the bridegroom. And she hears the herald cry aloud. When she hears him come, she hears him coming, she danced the more. She danced even the more. And so this hope of ours, this cool, this hope, cool, it caused us to dance in the midst of weathering type of storms and affliction. It causes us to dance. It is one thing that amazing about the Hebraic language as I look and I study. It is one thing that I'm committed to do. I'll tell you in the time to come. We must understand the nuances of it. And that's why our minds cannot express what Yah wants us to express. Because we're limited by this Babylonian form of speech unto us. That relegates us down to a puppet type personality. But what the word of Yah does, it brings out the spiritual purity in the mind of Israel. Because he's already written it there. He did not write it there in an English form. He put it there by the pure words or the pure voice of his mouth. He wrote it in our love, Israel. And so when we hear this truth, it bears connection and witness in us that causes us to move in the Ruach of Yah and cool. Because we know that our hope is anchored. We know that it is sure. We are not those crowd that we have. We have no hope, Yahash. We as Israel, we have a hope. In the midst of our lamentation, we can cool. We can cool in the midst of our lamentation. In the midst of our affliction, we can cool. Even when we are pained, we can dance. That is what it represents. The cool, this hope causes us to dance with great rejoicing. With great victorious, the sure power. We have victorious power. Brothers and sisters, once we began to obey Yah, as I began to look at scripture the other day, that Yah commands us to obey all that he commands us. And I see the reciprocity that is restored upon Israel, who we obey all. The old song that we were singing in the place, 99.5, just will not do. That's the truth. That is the true song. We must obey all that he commands us to do. This is our strength. There is no other strength unto Israel. It's not going to come any other way. And if we're looking for it to come any other way, but by this way, then we will be as those that have Yahash. We will have no hope at all. Israel, we have a lively hope, a living hope that is from the bosom of our Abba. There's a promise unto us. He's gonna bring Israel together to the reconciliation of the house of Israel. And if there's one that spoke profoundly on that, it's in the book of Hosea, in the book of Hosea. Hosea 2 verse 14. It says here in Hosea chapter 2 verse 14. Yahweh says, therefore behold, I will allure, and what he is saying, I will pata, I will persuade us. And that is what he's trying to do, persuade us. He said, I will persuade her, I will persuade Tizia, Israel, and bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfortably to her. Now he is speaking comfortably to us tonight. He's speaking with great comfort unto us, brothers and sisters. He speaks with comfort to us. He says, and I will give her her vineyard from there. And he says, I will give her the valley of Achor, the valley where trouble was found, as Deacon Horn brought out unto us the sin that brought death among the Israelites. Because they disobeyed Yah. He said, even in the midst of your disobedience, even in the midst of your disturbance and trial, Yah says, I'm going to give you a vineyard, a place whereby you can enjoy the fruitfulness of the word of Yah, where you can drink the new wine or the renewed wine that will give you life and refreshing. He said, and he says, for a door of Tikvah, and you shall, and Yisrael shall sing there, as in the days of her youth. As in the day when she came out of the land of Mizraim. He says, I'm going to give you a door. The door is going to be the Tikvah. You understand, Yisrael? He has brought us out in the wilderness. He has given us the vineyards. He has given us the vineyards. And that Yahweh is the husbandman. He has pruned the vineyard, and the grapes are ripe and luscious for us to eat and to enjoy the sweetness of the fresh pressed fruit that Yah has granted unto us. He has given us the fruit of the Raka, meekness, love, kindness, temperance. He has given us something we never had. Never had. He said, and there shall be a door, that there shall be an entrance. Without your shuha, what is our tikvah? We have no tikvah. There is no home. We have no home. Yahshua is the door that leads unto the bosom of the love of Yah. He said, I will give you a hope. I will give you a door, even in the midst of that wilderness. Verse 16. And it shall be in that day, says Yah, that you shall be called, you shall call me Isha. You shall call me your husband, man. You shall call me champion. You shall call me the great one. You shall call me the mighty man. You shall call me Isha, your husband. And he's going to call us his Isha, his wife, his virtuous one, his Isha. We're going to call him Isha, my great one, my great lover, my strong one. He is our strong one, brothers and sisters. Listen to me, Yah is our strong one. He is able to break down the shackles of the powers of darkness. He's able to make us free, has made us free. How about the power? This truth, we know the truth. We must know the truth. We must yada. We must yada. And that is to understand. And that is to learn the truth. When one knows or know the truth, one has to yada. And when one yada, you must learn the truth. You must learn the process of what truth reveals. So we shall yada the truth, and it shall liberate us. It brings the liberty of Yah unto Israel. He's given us that great door of Tikvah. Yahshua is that door. I told Yah for that. We shall call him Isha, our champion. He shall be the great one. He will be our husband, Isha, my husband. And he said, and shall no more call me Baal, my Lord. We shall not call him by that expression. Because we have a Tikvah. We have a hope. What tikvah is that? Yahshua. For the promises of Almighty Yah. For I will take away the name of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered. I shall not even remember by that name. He doesn't even want us to remember him by that superficial name. Now this is what the word of Yah says. We can't say what we want to, but this is what the book says. He has opened, he has given us a tikvah, and a tikvah is Yahshua. In the midst of this wilderness, he's brought us out. Brought us out of Mizraim, that represents sin and corruption, filth and vileness. That's what Egypt represents. Deacon Bender reminded us that we have come from under the bondage of Mizraim, but we still have the mind that was developed by Mizraim, by Egypt. That's why we must yada, we must learn the truth. And when we yada, we will learn it. Just like we learn how to act like the Egyptians, we must learn how to act like the true Israelites of Almighty Yah. So we must yada. We must yada. Yada, we must know the truth. We must yada, we must learn it. We must learn the Torah. We must learn the commands. We must learn the mitzvah and the hukah, the limitations of Yah. We must learn those things. We have to. We learn them because that tikvah to burn richly in us. We must learn in order for the tikvah to be richly in us. If we don't learn it, then we will not have this rich assurance of the tikvah of Yah. We will not. We will not. We will not have this tremendous tikvah. Hallelujah. We in this time of great darkness and trials. And there are times in our lives, there are battles in our minds that it brings in this dark spirit. And even Yoel speaks of that for us, Israel. We're in the time of great darkness. It's a time of great darkness. Whereby you can sense the vile nature and the sin of the wickedness of the heart of man. What is wickedness? Listen, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand this. The Rasha is a wickedness that is based upon when one knows what is Torah legitimate to do and one defies it and say, I will not do it. That is a wicked man and a wicked woman. When one justifies their own rejections of Torah, that is one that is guilty. And when one rejects the offering of the Dam of Yahshua, there is no more sacrifice for their sins. That's why Yah say, let the wheat and the tear it together, the wheat and the tear it together. And He's going to send them in locks to separate. We don't get by with nothing, brothers and sisters. But what is Rasha? They are criminals. That's what they are. They're criminals. They're already guilty. There's no need of a trial of law. When you defile the Torah of Yah, you are already guilty. You're not praying no deliverance for no one. Yah is the one that delivers. It was no prayer that delivered you. Your wicked prayer didn't deliver you. It was the sovereign election of Yah that delivered you. You didn't even know how to pray. Man must be a worshiper. He must shaha. And that is a supplication that is pure. A mind that is set upon the delight of the Torah of Almighty Yahweh. He has hafetz in the Torah of Yah. He has delight in the Torah of Yah. That's what that man, and that prayer will Yah hear. So we didn't have much of that, did we? It was by His sovereign election and His choice. Hallelujah. Which one of us have prayed like Yahshua prayed in Gethsemane? And He was assured in that prayer that it's all as well. I'm ready. Did He not say that? When do we declare that we are ready? When do we ever declare that we are ready for what? Trials, afflictions, correction. When do we declare that? We don't declare that, brothers and sisters. In the midst of all of their darkness, hear me. There's a promise unto Israel. It says in the book of Job, even in the midst of the great darkness that Yah shall pour out upon the earth, chapter 3, verse 16. It says that Yahweh also shall roar out of Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem, and the Shemaim and the Ulam shall shake, they shall ra'ash. The earth shall shake, ra'ash, it shall tremble, it shall reel to and fro. Listen to this. But Yahweh, do you all hear that? But Yahweh will be the Mekseth, and that is the refuge. He's a refuge. He shall be the Mekseth, or the refuge, or the shelter, the hope of His people, and the strength. He shall be the protection and the stronghold of the children of Israel. Do you all hear that? He shall be the Mekseth. He shall be the hope, the Mekseth. He shall be the refuge. You can hope, but if you don't have a place of refuge, what is that? If you don't have a place of comforting, then what good is the hope? You have no hope. He shall be the Mekseth. He shall be the refuge. In the midst of darkness, In the midst of all perplexities, Yahweh is the Mekseth. He is the refuge. He is the strong place for all Israel. He is our hope. Yahweh is the hope of Israel. Well, what is Yahshua? He is the power and the expression of that hope. He is this word. He is this word. He is this Mekseth. He is this refuge. He is the shelter. Because in Yahshua we live, in Him we move, and in Yahshua we have our being. For He is the power of the living Torah of Yahweh. That's who He is. He is the word of Yah. The word of Yah has been made to be tried by all fleshly elements to prove that Yahweh still saves. And in Him there is no sin. And in Yah there is no corruption. In His word there is no sin. You cannot charge Him foolishly or charge Yah with a lie. Hallelujah. Because Yahshua declared that 3 days and three nights I shall rise with all power in my hand. And He got up. And the word of Yah is not dormant. It will cause this dead sinful flesh to rise up. Only thing you gotta do is let it penetrate and enter in. It will break down every shackle, everything that caused you to be in the bondage. It will break it down. In the midst of this darkness, Yahweh must be our Mekseth. He has to be. If we don't have no hope, if Yahweh is not our hope, if He is not our refuge, and we find that in the comforting of His word, and Yahshua is the power of that comforting, He is that living word that we wrap around our minds and wrap it in us, brothers and sisters. We need that Mekseth. We need a refuge. Come on, you need a place that you can go to and cry out. You need a shelter in the midst of these storms. And it is this Mekseth, it is this hope we have in Yah, and the power of Yahshua HaMashiach. He pointed all men onto the Abba. He brought them all back to the visitation of Almighty Yah. He led them back to the bosom of the Yah, of Yahweh Almighty. He sat down on the right hand of the Abba. He did not come with some form of doctrine that separated men from the Abba, because they are Ikat. It's only one. It's not no three, it's one. Just one. Hallelujah. So He brings deliverance unto us. It is the power of this word. Come on. Yoel said that Yah said that He will be the Mekseth. He will be the refuge. He will be the stronghold. He will be the tower for us, Yisrael, in the midst of darkness, when He shall cause the heavens to be shaken, the earth to reel. He is going to be the Mekseth. For only Israel, He is going to be the hope, the Mekseth. And it's all right to have that refuge in the midst of great darkness. And sometimes your mind may want to go blank and dark on you, but yet you have the Mekseth of Yah. I don't know why I'm preaching this, but Yah began to charge my heart the other day with this. As I said in my other office over there, it gives me time to think. I talk to my Abba all the time. Do you understand that? I said to my wife, between Sunday and the day, I put together about 3 or 4 messages. I know at least 3 of them in there, 3 or 4. I mean, I never preach them. But I know that it is the true word of Yah. It is what strengthens me. Hallelujah. Because I can tell you what I had to preach on today. I was going to preach a message on why Israel, we shall not faint. And that was what was in my lab. But I know this is what we need here. We need the Mekseth of Yah. He needs to be our Mekseth. Mekseth. Our refuge. Our strong tower. Our staying place. And that is what Yahweh is to us. Listen to this from Shurach. 34:12. Shurach, the wisdom of Shurach says, He said, I have often been in danger of death. I can't say that, but as I thought today, there are many times in my life, there are times that I knew that something violently should have happened, but yet Yahweh, He was watching over me. He said, I've often been in the danger of death, but have escaped because of these experiences. Well, what experience? How did you escape death, Shuraka? He says, the Ruah of those that fear Yah will live. You that have the Ruach, that Yare, Yah, that fear and tremble, and that reverence, that respect, Yah, that honors His Torah, you shall live. Don't ever forget that. You shall not die, but you shall live. Don't ever forget that. Don't let your flesh talk to your mind. those that honor, those that Yare, those that fear Yah, those that have the fear of Yah in them, you shall not die, but you shall live. He said, I've often been in the very presence of death. I've often been captivated by death and terror and danger. He said, but in the midst of all that, I've experienced those things. But this is the strength of that experience, and the reason I've escaped that is because I fear Yahweh. Those that fear Yahweh have the Ruach. Those that fear Yah, you will live. For their tikvah, their hope. That's why you're going to live, because your tikvah, because your expectation is not from man, not from this earth, but your tikvah is in Yahweh who saves us. So it is Yahweh that saves us. Hallelujah. You know you're going to live because Yahweh saves you. He is your Redeemer. He delivers you. He makes you free. The power of His Emet, His truth, His Dabah, His word, or strength delivers you. So you're not going to die. Because you have your tikvah in Yahweh. Your tikvah is in Yahweh. It's in Yahweh, brothers and sisters. Your tikvah is in Him who saves us.